Now, these continuing resolutions that we're seeing here have been deployed every year but four since 1976. So it's a familiar scenario. And of course, the infrastructure bill and the debt ceiling issue are still very much on the table for lawmakers. Joining me now is Congressman Jody Arrington of Texas. And Congressman, thanks for making time for us. So do you expect this stopgap bill to pass the House? And you know, these resolutions can be costly for federal agencies. What is your response to the bill?
Well, first, it's a symptom of the deeper dysfunction in our budget and appropriations process that may be boring for some people to think about, but it is a process that gives us really bad outcomes like stopgap measures, as you mentioned, that are very disruptive to the continuity of government programs, some of which are core to our public safety and security. It's also costly to taxpayers. It cost us more as taxpayers to run our government this way. And so this is, again, an example of our government playing by different rule than Americans and state and local governments and companies in the private sector. We should pass budgets. We should live by those budgets, and we should be held accountable for the outcomes of those budgets in terms of fiscal responsibility. None of that happens, but you've got to fund the government. And I suspect that CR will pass. Even if it was straight Democrat vote, it will still pass. Ultimately, there may be some Republicans to support it as well to get us through the end of the year.
Now, of course, we know that lawmakers are still locked in this debate about raising the debt ceiling as the U.S. is inching closer to possibly defaulting for the first time ever on its financial obligations. How confident are you that there's going to be an 11th hour agreement here?
Well, I think that the Democrats have woken up to the reality that in this scenario, and every cycle is different, every debt ceiling vote is different. But to date, the big spending packages of COVID at the beginning of the year, the $2 trillion COVID bill, along with this massive 3.5 tax and spend bill, and then you add the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, most of that is a straight partisan process to date. I mean, no Republican amendments have been considered or passed. And the COVID bill and the 3.5 will be a straight partisan vote. So I think Republicans are loath to raise the debt ceiling to pay for these things, and they need to be paid for. We don't want to default on our debt. It hurts our credit rating. It costs taxpayers more. But I think Republicans make a good argument here that if the Democrats are going to rack up this sort of price tag on all these bills, then they need to pay for them. And it's as easy as sticking it in the reconciliation bill, where it will be an all Democrat vote anyway. And they ought to own that all the way through, from the tax, the spend, and the raising of the debt limits so that we can pay our creditors.
Congress, last I saw, Democratic leaders are still moving toward that planned House vote on the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. You've made quite clear you do not support the bill as it is written. What would you need to see here to change your mind?
I'm very worried about the runaway debt. We already had an unsustainable fiscal path prior to COVID, and now we're adding trillions of dollars in annual deficits, and the 10-year debt outlook is horrible. Not to mention that we have a growing interest on the debt payment, which is the fastest growing expenditure item. And in less than 10 years, we'll be paying more just to service the debt than all of the spending for national defense. So I'm very concerned about taking, in a season where we should be tightening the belt like most businesses and Americans would do after a crisis, we are adding $500 billion to what we would normally spend on infrastructure. We need infrastructure maintenance, and we need the investment if we're going to recover and grow in the long term. But $500 billion on top of that for electric charging stations, four or five times the multiple for mass transit, and the pay-fors are gimmicky, that they're not real. So if they were real, I think people would feel better about it. But if the private sector tried to pay for their spending the way the federal government does, they'd be thrown in jail. It would be Enron accounting schemes and not legitimate. So those are big reasons why I'm staying away from it. If they could make it more targeted, if they could make it less progressive, if they could pay for it, I think it's good investment for our country, but not in its current state.
Congressman, I want to ask you about Fed Chair Jay Powell, who went before the House Financial Services Committee today. You know, we saw the stock market really do this about face and start to sell off after Powell said that the rise in inflation may last longer than expected, could possibly seep over into next summer. How concerned are you that inflation could trip up our economic recovery? And what are your thoughts on how the Fed has been dealing with rising inflation?
I think the Fed has done a terrible job, quite frankly, with their liberal monetary policies that have printed money, virtually into the system that has exacerbated inflation. I'd say that in tandem with the massive spending that came out of COVID, very little of that $2 trillion was focused on COVID-related items. So you have this unnecessary spending spree. You've got the easy money policies at the Fed, and then you've had labor sideline with these policies that were in COVID that said, hey, we'll plus up your unemployment benefits higher than you made in your previous job, which froze people out of the labor market, hurt our small businesses, and it jacked up the inflation cost, which has been a tax on everybody. But it's also had wages reduced relative to their purchasing power. So we've seen real wages go down every month of this year. So far, we have a recipe for economic disaster because we haven't even talked about what the tax hikes would do to passing along higher cost of goods and services, lowering wages further, and making it almost impossible to recover from this extended recession on account of COVID. Bad policy, bad strategy at the wrong time.
So would you like to see the Fed's timeline moved up? Would you like to see them start to, you know, pull back on all the stimulus they've been pumping into the economy sooner rather than later and possibly start hiking interest rates before the end of the year?
I think they should tighten up, and we need it's healthy to have a dose of reality and some of the pain that makes for, you know, making the appropriate adjustments. I mean, that happens in, again, all of our lives as individuals and families and businesses, and to sort of shelter the country from the economic reality is just postponing the inevitable and making a bad situation worse. So yes, I think they need to take away that artificiality and start tightening things up so that we can manage, you know, things in increments better as we, I think, have a tough sledding ahead of us. But again, it'd be far worse to kick it off down the road. And I think then you have a real potential for a debt crisis or some financial crisis that the Fed couldn't print its way out of, and Congress couldn't borrow its way out of. And that, to me, is the biggest threat on the horizon, and one that is quite frankly unpredictable, but one that I think is certain if we continue on the policy paths that we've been experiencing lately.
Well, it is certainly difficult to hit a home run, in Congress, but Greg Stube certainly did that last night. Congratulations on the Republicans' win over the Dems. What did you think when he made that shot?
Lexis, it was something special and something to behold. Greg is a ball player. Let's just be clear. He didn't just show up to Congress and, start from the tee and work his way up to the big league pitching mound. He's a great athlete. He's a good guy. And he helped us win and break a long time losing streak. And, it's a fun game. It's bipartisan. those kind of relationships and activities that we do outside of Congress, I think bode well for the culture of Congress and us working together when we can. But Greg, he was the Republican hero, and I just hope it's a foreshadowing of 2022. Let me just put that plug in.
Yeah, I was wondering if the congressman was fielding any MLB offers today after that. He really did look like a ball player. Congressman Jody Arrington, thanks so much for joining us.